The G.I. Journal goes to press. Yes, sir, it's the G.I. Journal, the radio newspaper of the AEF. And tonight we give you not one editor-in-chief, not two editors, but Fibber McGee and Molly and Frank Sinatra.
Well, I can understand you acting as editor-in-chief, Mr. Sinatra, but I'm afraid McGee doesn't know much about newspaper work.
Now, wait a minute, Molly. I certainly do.
Do you really, Fibber?
Well, he does a little. He's been on the staff of life for years. Bread being the staff of life and him having so much crust.
Well, now, let me tell you, I wrote many the headline in my day, let me tell you.
Have you anything for us to do until Miss Rogers comes, Mr. Sinatra?
Oh, yes, Molly. You might take this one ad down to the classified advertising department.
Which ad, Frankie? The one that says, reward for apprehension of my husband who took all my red coupons and blue?
No, this one that reads, personal. Young corporal with butane would like to meet beautiful young blonde with hot plate. Object, cooking with gas.
Who's going to cover that story out of the zoo where the mama bear had a blessed event?
Oh, one of our cub reporters. Oh. I'll take care of that right now.
Well, now that Mr. Sinatra's gone, dearie, I can ask. What on earth do you know about printing up a newspaper?
Why, that's a ridiculous question, Molly. I was turf editor for 7 years on the Starved Rock Bugle.
Turf editor? You covered the racetracks?
No, I just laid on the grass till it was time to come back with the yarn. But in 1933, I did get the Pulitzer Prize.
Heavenly days, you never told me that. How did you ever win the Pulitzer Prize?
Well, my brother had a pullet that wouldn't lay enough eggs, see?
Yeah?
So we were going to surprise it with a firecracker under the nest, see? But I didn't let go of it quick enough after I lit it, and I got the Pulitzer surprise. You get it, Molly? I says, I got the Pulitzer surprise.
Ain't funny, McGee.
And I guess that firecracker worked on me. I'm laying the eggs.
Maybe Mr. Sinatra will put you to work on the comics. You know, that'd seem to be about your line of work.
Come in.
Oh, it's Dr. Gamble.
Good afternoon, Mrs. McGee. And a cheery gastric twinge to you, bird brain.
Take a couple of loads off your feet, Doc. Pull up one of those type cases there and distribute it.
Thank you.
Say, Doctor, what do you think of us helping Mr. Sinatra edit the G.I. Journal?
I think it's an excellent idea. Except for one little thing.
What's that?
You.
Now, just a darn minute, Gamble. You overstuffed epidemic promoter. One more remark like that, and I'll pull your nose so far down between your ankles, you'll look like you're standing on a tripod.
Why, you varicose little vagrant. You couldn't pull a loose plug out of an oily wash basin without calling for the reserves.
Boys, boys.
Don't
please.
Worry, Mrs. McGee. I won't hurt him.
You can say that again, lard bucket. I'd go over you like a boot camp barber over a pair of sideburns on payday. I'd mop you up like the gravy on a chow hound's plate. Why?
That's loud talk for soft muscles, my boy. And if you can staunch that drip of small talk a moment, I'd like to tell you about some material I brought for the G.I. Journal.
Material, Doc?
Well, it isn't much. Poetry.
Poetry?
That's right.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know you could write poetry, Doctor.
Well, just a sideline with me.
Anything is a sideline with you except eating.
Now listen here, you sawed-off little runt.
Climb the phone, Doc.
No wonder the little duckling wears on his face a frown. For he has just discovered his first pair of pants was down.
That's a lovely poem, Doctor.
Thanks a lot, Doctor. Just leave your name and address, and if anything turns up, it'll be the editor's nose.
I have one more.
Go ahead, Doctor.
All right. This one's sort of a rhyme in trend with the war.
Oh, yes.
A merchant marine on a tanker wed a mermaid one day while at anchor. He gets full of dismay when she's naughty and gay because he can't figure out where to spank her.
Oh, my. They're lovely, Doctor, and we'll give them to Mr. Sinatra as soon as he comes back.
The reporter just got back from the zoo with another swell story. He overheard Mother Stork telling the little storks where baby storks come from.
Yeah?
Where'd she tell them they come from?
Think Crosby brings them.
That reminds me, Mr. Sinatra. Don't you sing, too?
Well, come
on, son. Don't be bashful. Maybe I can turn some work your way down at the Elks. I've started many a young singer that way.
Will I ever find the girl in my mind? The one who is my ideal. Maybe she's a dream, and yet she might be just around the corner waiting for me. Will I recognize a light in her eyes that no other eyes reveal? Or will I pass her by and never even know that she is my
Mr. Sinatra?
Sure was. Say, Molly, on your way to the composing room, tell that copy boy to get in here.
All right, dearie, I'll do
that. Oh, never mind. Here he is now.
Here's that new ad for the paper, Chiefy.
Okay, read it over, and Frankie and I'll check it for errors.
All righty. It says, "Men, do you find it difficult to sleep after 16 hours in the sack?" You do? Then try the new easy-to-swallow sleeping pill. Round pills roll too much. Our pill comes in a square shape so you can keep it on your stomach. Remember, spelled backwards is...
Okay, I got it. I'll run downstairs to the composing room and see what Molly's doing. I'll be right back. You take charge.
Okay, Fib. Ah, there goes a good kid. Well, I guess I better start... I guess I better start stashing the stuff before Ginger Rogers gets here. Come in.
Hi, mister.
Hi, small fry. Have a seat.
Thanks, mister. I'll just sit right here.
Whoops, not there. Oh, not there, sis. Oh, gosh, too late. Don't look now, but you just sat on yesterday's headlines.
Oh, gee, I did?
You sure did. Let me see. Turn around a minute.
Okay, mister. Did I get any on me?
I wouldn't say for sure, Teeny, but unless these old eyes deceive me, your little rompers have just bombed Tokyo again.
Is that bad, huh?
No, they deserve a little stern treatment.
McGee, huh?
He went downstairs a sec. He'll be right back. What'd you want with him?
Well, I wanted to tell him he could come over and chew on the trees in our yard anytime he wants to.
Well, what makes you think he'd care for that?
My daddy.
Your father said Fibber would like to chew trees?
Sure he did, I betcha. He said Mr. McGee was a real eager beaver.
Well, I wouldn't say that, little one. His tail is much too broad for a beaver.
I brought your paper a riddle for the soldiers, too.
Well, swell. Let's have it.
Riddle. Why is rabbit stew?
Why is rabbit stew?
Mm-hmm. Give up?
No, I think...
You give up. A rabbit multiplies rapidly, but it isn't much of an adder. An adder is a snake. A snake has a rattle. So so does a baby. A baby wears three-cornered pants. George Washington wore a three-cornered hat. Washington was head of the army. The army has mules. Mules have long ears. Rabbits do.
And right here is the original song of the week, department, and your favorite G.I. Journal copy girl, Miss Connie Haynes.
Thanks a lot, fellas. You know, every week G.I. Journal presents a new song written overseas and mailed to us here at Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. And believe me, we're really discovering some mighty talented tunesmiths in uniform. This week, we point with pride to a couple of Navy men, Tom Halsey and Bill Simmons, who collaborate with the Marine Corps, represented by Sergeant Vernon Ludwig, to write Heaven, USA. And here it is right back at you, Tom, Bill, and Vernon.
Battlefront is quiet. That's the sound tonight. Weary boys bedding down, exhausted from the fight. Nerves a little jumpy, no sleep for a while. Finally his reverie will bring a needed smile. There's the busy avenue, quiet path above its view, the church and school just down the way, and heaven, USA. Lots of the paper route he made to pay. Heaven, yes, the boys and girls he used to know, a card that you buy, rolling rings and picture show, gosh, but he flying high. Now a bedroom once again, the odds and ends are tucked away. An angel going there to pray. Heaven, USA.
Swell, Connie. And congratulations to Ludwig, Simons, and Halsey. Come in.
Hello, everybody.
Why, just arrived. Come right in and make an imprint on that chair there, dear. You know Fibber and Molly?
I'm very glad to meet you.
How do you do, I'm sure.
You any relation to Buck Rogers back in Peoria, sis? Real nice guy, Buck. He was the finest lad that
I... No, I don't think I... No, in fact, I don't think I've ever been in Peoria.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
Then I take back what I said about Buck. There was a low-down bomb...
Anyway, dearie, you know who Miss Rogers is.
Oh, sure. Everybody knows who she is.
Oh, they do?
Sure. You're the gal who won that Charleston contest.
What brings you to the old G.I.J., Ginger?
Well, I thought you might be able to use an article on dancing.
That we can.
Be glad to use it, sis. Pretty interested in dancing myself. In fact, I was quite a fancy stepper at one time, to put it mildly. I do say so myself, if I shouldn't. Remember how I used to turkey trot, Molly?
Oh, yes, indeed. And I remember the feeling of Thanksgiving when you sat down.
Well, this article of yours, Ginger, what is its
Nomenclature.
Oh. Well, I thought I might write something out about the present trend for jitterbugging.
Jitterbugging?
Yes, you know, that's where one hip is restricted to quarters while the other one goes out on an extended maneuver.
It's great exercise, too, McGee.
Any form of dancing is great exercise. I even lost 5 pounds off my frame doing the bunny hug.
I wouldn't say you'd lost it, Mr. McGee. If you look closely enough, you'll see that it's just slipped its moorings.
Touché!
Me too. Well, gee, sis, it hurts me to hear you say things like that, especially when you remember that I saw you in your last movie and enjoyed you very much.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. McGee. I was just trying to be funny. I saw your last movie, too.
Honest?
Yes, and I happen to have some very confidential news for you.
Yeah, go on.
Rumor has it that your acting performance has put you in line for a very famous award.
You mean the Academy's Oscar?
No, Maggie's Drawers.
Well, look, sis, this ain't getting that dancing article you were talking about.
Oh, you're right, Deborah. I think I can demonstrate it if I have a partner.
Okay, sis. I'll be glad to.
Come here, Frankie.
Me?
Go ahead, Mr. Sinatra. You're not afraid of girls, are you?
Well, no, not if they don't wear bobby socks.
All right, now you put your arm around me, and I put my arm around you, and, say, you have a very solid chest, just like a board. How do you do it?
I use a board.
Pretty good, eh? I think I ought to be a comedian,
eh? Oh, don't give up being a singer now that you're so near. Now then, move slowly around the floor.
Ah, this is a cinch. How am I doing?
Fine. Now try it standing up.
Is this better?
Too stiff.
That's fine, Frankie. In this step, you should put your weight on the toes, not mine.
That's on account of he's not relaxed enough.
Hey, you got the idea, but hadn't you better shift into low?
I just can't dance all tightened up like that. Why, a sailor's pants aren't that tight.
Look here, Fibber, why don't you go somewhere and wax a floor?
Look, Fibber, you've been so helpful coaching us. I've got a little solo step I'd like you to try. Are you willing?
Oh, you betcha, sis. They didn't call me the Fiori Pavlova for nothing.
Fine, now, first you put your arms out straight. Uh-huh. Next, raise your left leg in the air and touch your left hand. What was that?
I think I stripped the gear.
Now, hold your leg up there.
Both of them?
Now, wait. You haven't come to that yet. Just a second. Take it easy. Now, raise your other leg and touch your right hand and hold it. Now, while Fibber's up in the air, I can give you a real article for the G.I. Journal to run, Frankie. It's about the Signal Corps.
You mean those guys who wigwag their eyes at blondes?
Mm-mm. That's not all they do. In a war like this, where men and machines move at terrific speed on the ground and in the air, it's important that vital information be dispatched at an even faster speed. And it's important, too, that this information be withheld from the enemy. These two requirements of secrecy and speed are the guiding principles of the Signal Corps, which provides the equipment and men for the Army's lifeline of communications. Without the Signal Corps, not a plane could fly, not a tank could move, not a gun could blast. No order, no plan. There'd be no battle and no victory. Let the other side fight their war of nerves. We'll put our faith on the nerves of war, our Signal Corps.
Well, that's swell article, Ginger. Especially since the Signal Corps just voted you the movie star they'd like most to flag down.
Really? Well, that's quite an honor. Oh, Fibber, you can come down now.
Thanks, Ginger, for a swell dancing lesson and for dropping in on the G.I. Journal. Now, while Fibber recovers, I think maybe you'd like to dig a little group that's tops with Armed Forces radio listeners. The Les Paul Trio. Try that guitar over here, Les Boy. Jump it. ¶¶ That was swell, Les.
Come in.
Hello there. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to be here. I'm very glad to be here. I'm delighted to be here. How do you get out of here?
Say, haven't we met?
Oh, sure. You're Frank. Your name is Mr. Slim. Everybody swoons when you... How are the kids, Bing?
I don't believe I've met this fella.
Well, we're very pleased to meet you, Mr. Sack. Got a ribbon on your chest, too. How'd you get it?
Oh, for gallantry and extra, for bravery under the fire, for wiping out the enemy machine gun, and for extreme heroism above and beyond its talk, beyond its I won it in a crap game.
What can we do for you, pal?
Well, I want your paper to print up a story of my life. See, I was...
Somebody give the stalk a shove.
I wrote it down. You read it.
Okay. It says here, Private Sad Sack was born in the little town of... As he lies cooing and gurgling in his little crib, his adoring mother tiptoes gently up to him and gazes lovingly at the little shaver. After long looks, she speaks rather softly.
For crying out loud, and I just changed him.
Well, when he was 8, the sack achieved his greatest ambition. He became a tenderfoot in the Boy Scouts. His girl invited him to take a hike with her in the woods. And when they reached a cozy, secluded nook, she turned and whispered gently,
"Oh, Sack, let's stop here a while under these beautiful trees."
It's heated.
Boy, this is my big chance. My big chance. Just what I've been waiting for. Just what I've been waiting for. And now I can use my new Boy Scout axe.
The Sack plays high school football. His team faces another big, tough bunch of men. The whistle blows and the game is on. The Sack calls the signals.
Signals. Never been hurt yet.
The Sack joins the army. He practices throwing dummy grenades until he is proficient. One day he gets a live grenade from his instructor, who warns,
"Remember, Sack, this is a real live grenade. It'll explode 5 seconds after you pull the pin. Be sure you throw it far enough away."
Oh, okay. I'll pull the pin. And now I'll throw it. Gee, look at it, isn't it sailing right where I wanted it to, right where I wanted it to, get it out of my car!
One day the men... Men are all called in to see a movie on the facts of life. The sack sits stunned at what he sees.
Well, what do you know about that? Who would have believed I never dreamed there was such a thing.
Ah. Fibber is recovering his composure, we might take a short thrust at Brother Bing's community sing. Here's a nod from APO 322 for a swell old-timer. I'll give the chorus a light going over to refresh your memory, and we'd like you all to join in the second round. It goes something like this.
Shine on, shine on, harvest moon, up in the sky. I ain't had no loving since January, February, June, or July. Snow time, ain't no time to spoon. Outdoors and spoon,
that's a great lyric.
So shine on, shine on, harvest moon. For me and my gal.
Now, here it is in your favorite key. The whole audience, Fibber, Molly, Ginger, Sack, Doc Gamble, and everybody everywhere. Latch on good and loud, and here we go. That was swell, gang. I haven't heard such wholehearted singing since the time Carmen Lobato got stuck with a check in Barney Dean's lunchroom. But before we lock up the presses for the night, I'd like to thank our G.I. Journal staff for their star reporting. Ginger Rogers, Arthur Q. Bryan, who plays Doc Gamble, Private Sad Sack, played by Mel Blanc, and the McGee's, Fibber and Molly. Fib, you and Molly got anything more to say?
Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.